It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Money for Lunch. I'm excited. You know, it's been It's just been a fantastic week. And we just got an assignment. We're going to be doing some filming in Miami, Florida in July. So if you want to participate in our shows that we're going to be doing in Miami, hit me up. And I'd love to connect you with some details. Quote of the day, ladies and gentlemen, what you're supposed to do when you don't like a thing is change it. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Don't complain. That quote is by Maya Angelou, or Angelou. Anyway, Maya Angelou, author and a very powerful young lady. She really impacted a lot of individuals. Anyway, speaking of impacting a lot of individuals, today on the show we have Annie Keffer. Annie Keffer is a nationally recognized educator, speaker, author, and entrepreneur who is passionate about youth leadership. She has been featured in many publications as well as media outlets, including CBS, ABC, Fox, and NBC. Annie is the founder of the Young Woman of Influence Conference and is the co-author of Girls Lead. Her new book is Leadership Built on Why, A Guide for Young Adults. Annie Keffer, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right, so I got to ask you, why leadership for young adults? What drew you to that kind of a niche area there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing about leadership is for everyone. Everyone has the ability to be a leader, though most people choose not to be. So again, this kind of topic is great for everyone. The thing is that my journey of leadership and where I struggled most with it and sort of my turning point in life was when I was a young adult, kind of where I already knew what leadership was and I knew what it looked like, but I had decided to kind of play small and decided to let other people decide when I was supposed to be a leader, when I could truly be what I wanted to be. And so then I had this turning point and I decided, no, like here is actually my purpose. Here is my why I'm doing what I'm doing. So that was sort of in my young adult phase. And so I looked around at my generation and the generation behind me and I thought, my gosh, there is such a need for us not only to be leaders, but to talk about leadership, right? So, you know, most great movements start not, you know, having that first conversation of first understanding what that looks like and then doing the action. So leadership really is that knowledge and action of having the true understanding of what it is and then actually doing it in your everyday life.
Yeah, I like that. And I love this, as you said, you know, this thing about playing small that sometimes we all fall into that trap. You know, who am I to write a book? Who am I to lead? Who am I to do, you know, enter the, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. So I think that that's a struggle that we kind of all fall into. Let me ask you this. You know, you mentioned that you had some struggles, and I know that you're pretty candid with your story in the book. Can you talk a little bit about some of the struggles that you were challenged with?
Absolutely. So, like I said, when I was young, my parents taught me the idea of leadership. I knew what leadership was before I could even spell the word leadership. So they were great at really showing me what it was and what it looked like. And then I hit middle school, which is not everyone's most favorite time in the world. And again, like I said, I started to play small and I started to feel like when I was standing out, it was a bad thing. And I actually didn't feel like I had any one of those, you know, standout talents that people would go, oh my gosh, she's so good at this. And I thought, well, I don't have a standout talent. When I do stand out, it's not looked upon well. And so I sort of just kind of shrunk back into the shadows and said, okay, I'm only going to do what, you know, quote unquote, do what I'm supposed to do and just wait for other people to kind of push me where I need to go. Though I sort of inherently knew there had to be something more than that because that's what I was taught. But I just let the social pressures you know, kind of push on me. And then in high school, you know, I kind of got to the point where I thought I might not have a purpose, you know, because I don't know what it is. And I couldn't articulate it. I thought, you know, what if the sad thing is I don't even have one? And so I really struggled because I wasn't like, oh, you know, I know what my life's going to look like and I want to be one of these things. I was somebody who, you know, loved to talk and use her hands and loved to teach. And I didn't know, I didn't want to be a regular teacher. So I thought, do I even have like a gift? Do I have a purpose to use this for? And it wasn't until getting to college and having this kind of turning point at a conference where I felt inspired, where I felt purposeful. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, it doesn't have to look like everyone else's. My purpose, my passion, what I want to do doesn't have to be the same as everyone else's. And that's actually a good thing. It's my gift to the world. And so that was really the turning point of going down that path of figuring out what is my why, what's my purpose, and what's my mission.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. I think for me, it was high school. I kind of liked middle school, but I remember I struggled immensely in high school. And kind of like you, I kind of got lost or felt lost, whatever, and kind of didn't feel as though I had anything to offer. A lot of my friends were, you know, they had gotten involved in football, and that did not, you know, was not appealing to me. And some of them got involved in, you know, just in different things, and nothing seemed to really connect with me. And this is, I think, a big deal. You know, when you are struggling either in middle school or high school, you know, this is the kind of thing that leads people to dropping out.
Because we don't give them, and, you know, it's not to say, because, you know, teachers are fabulous and we love them. They just are not given the great support to be
right.
able to say there's so many different kinds of kids who learn in different ways, who connect in different
yes.
ways, who are going to go down different paths. And when you have so many of them, and when you really start to understand them, you realize, my gosh, you have to have such different teaching ways. And so a lot of them get, you know, kind of cast into the shadows, you know, not of anyone's own purpose, just because it's, you know, they really need that attention to say, okay, like, you're not doing the normal path. That's fabulous. What do you love? What do you love to do? You know, we don't ask kids that question enough of, like, you know, what are you passionate about? And let's kind of walk down this path, because it will evolve, right? You know, our passions
right.
change, you know, our journey evolves. But what does that start to look like? So I always ask people to kind of figure out their why. What are you most passionate about? What lights you up? And then what really frustrates you about the world? Because my merging of my passion was, what am I passionate about? I'm passionate about speaking and teaching and mentoring. And my frustration was looking around at my generation and saying, we need better leaders. We need better examples of people who say you don't have to be the way society tells you to be. So I merge those together to kind of have my why and kind of walk down this path. So I just tell people, merge what frustrates you, what you want to change about the world, and what you're really passionate about, and to kind of see where that leads you.
No, I think it's a great idea. That's a great idea. And, you know, sometimes, by the way, you know, at least for me, you got to try different things before you find something that really lights you up. Let me ask you this, because you mentioned something that was kind of interesting, that your parents taught you about leadership even before you could spell it. Do you think that anyone is ever too young to be a leader?
No, that's the amazing thing, is that we can start teaching this stuff to kids at such a young age, whether you're 4 or you're 94. Like I said earlier, everybody has the opportunity to be a leader. Most people just don't choose to do it. So not
right.
that they're going to, you know, inhabit all those qualities, but you start to recognize, what are their strengths? What are they good at? How can they be a leader? Because, you know, oftentimes people buy into the myth, oh, well, you know, I'm not an extrovert, or I'm not a loud talker, or I'm not the kind of person who loves to be in front of people. And that doesn't mean, you know, people think, oh, that's what a leader is. But no, it's just the fact that you're leading in your own life, in your own way, with what you're passionate about and the people you're meant to impact. So it's, everybody's going to be a unique leader, though there are often, you know, there are some qualities that we all have. Everyone's a unique leader in their own space, but the more that we can start to kind of talk to kids about this, have these conversations so they can begin to understand and start to put that together. Because for me, I started to see, okay, I know what it is and I know what it looks like. And I realized that there had to be a marriage between the two. And of course, it wasn't till I was older till I fully got what that meant. But I at least was paying attention for it and I knew what it looked like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like that. I like that. All right. So let me ask you this. The book again is Leadership Built on Why, A Guide for Young Adults. So let's talk about why you wrote the book. I mean, was this something that just kind of was a year or 3 or 5 in the making? Is it something that all of a sudden was there a catalyst or something that made you think, man, we need this book? Talk about how, or I guess why you started or why you wrote the book.
Yeah, so I was 19 when I first realized, I was halfway through my freshman year of college where I realized, okay, I'm starting to realize what my purpose is and what my why is. And so from there, I started speaking. I got hooked up with a speaking coach, and she spoke nationally for women. So she started helping me with different things. And I just sort of started walking down this path. And I knew in that moment, I knew I wanted to write a book, though I didn't know exactly what that looked like. And so as I began to speak, I mainly focused on identity and talking about identity for women and what that looked like. And then I switched over to the leadership space because I knew how much it had affected my life and how passionate I was about it. So I started talking about leadership and working in the leadership space and getting mentored in leadership. And I realized, oh, okay, I have a great basis. Now I kind of want to dive in. So I really took what I talk about when I talk about conferences or with businesses or when I do consulting, I took that main talk and I really delve deep into it. And I just kind of spread it out and say, okay, well, let's talk about this deeper. Let's talk about what this looks like. So it took about a year and a half to write it, and I self-published it. And it was a great journey of writing and, you know, kind of like working through my own things with leadership and kind of, you know, delving into what that looked like even more. And it was a good journey. It was a hard journey, but it was great to kind of dive into that deeper and see what that looked like.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, whether you're self-publishing or you're going through a traditional publishing, you know, I think it's very daunting to write a book. I think it can be very, what do you call it? You're putting yourself out there. And the minute you put yourself out there, whether it's in book or a video or a show like this or whatever, you know, you open yourself up to criticism and ridicule. So it can be a little off-putting.
Yeah. And it's a thing to say, you know, when, you know, the dog, they always say the dog never barks at a parked car. So the minute you start moving, the minute you start going, right, people are going to say something. And a lot of times it might be in your own personal group of family or friends, which sometimes is almost harder than, you know, the random stranger on the internet who, you know, decides to berate you. So it is going into that saying, look, like this is not, even just in my own personal journey, it's going to be hard, but there are going to be, you know, the naysayers and the negative people, but you have to thank them because it means you're doing something right. Like nobody would say anything if you just weren't moving, if you weren't doing something. So knowing that criticism, understanding it's going to hurt, but just saying, look, like it just means I'm doing something and I'm impacting people. And I always say, you know, it's the idea of this rule of one. So, you know, a lot of times when, you know, we have big impacts, when we want to do big things in the world, we think about, oh my gosh, I want to impact all of these people. And we can kind of get lost in the mass of like how many people that is. And so I remind everyone, I remind myself, I'm just doing this for one person. Every time I speak for one. Every time I write for one. Every time I post on social media, I'm posting for the one person that needs to hear it. Now, eventually, will the impact be great? Of course. But I'm always reminding myself that there might be one person out there that needs to hear it. There might be 15 people that say really mean things, but I just want one person to feel the impact of that. So to always go into this new journey or to new things that you do, just to remind yourself that one person needs to hear what you have to say, and that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about this. I kind of want to get your thoughts on what do you call it, the Me Too movement and the Never Again movement. I mean, these things have obviously been, you know, picking up a lot of publicity and really are you're seeing some leadership. Speaking of leadership, you see some leadership emerge in both these movements. And, you know, one movement has a lot of young adults in it. So give me your thoughts on these.
I think it's a powerful thing when, you know, things have been going on for quite some time and somebody, not that we've never had the conversation, but somebody finally decides that, no, we need to have a big conversation. You know, we need to start talking about this on a national level. And that's what, you know, these kids and these women have done to say, look, like things aren't going to change until we start having a conversation. Because, you know, so often Bert, you know, when we think about these topics, they can feel really daunting, right? Like, how are we even going to tackle something like this? How can we even change? And so it really does start with conversation of educating yourself on, okay, what is truly the problem? What could be the solution? You know, who's involved? How can we help? How can we contribute to that? So I think they're not only bringing attention and light to maybe how bad it was, and maybe people didn't even realize what all was going on, but then we're having conversations. You know, I always encourage people, you know, parents with kids, you know, teachers with their students, just start to have conversations, figure out where these kids are, where these adults are, figure out where people are, and talk to them kind of where they're at, because people are afraid of change. You know, saying we're going to do this big change kind of freaks people out. So just having conversation and realizing, you know, we're not in it to argue people to the other side. We're in it to say, hey, where are you at? You know, how can I help you kind of understand what's going on? And having those conversations is hugely important. And then eventually then leading to say, okay, how can we change this? What are the kind of actions? So it's great that people are realizing it needs to change. And then they're, you know, having these great conversations in the midst of it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So real quick, ladies and gentlemen, the book is Leadership Built on Why, A Guide for Young Adults. What's interesting to me is a lot of people really skip over the why, and the why is so extremely important. Talk about this real quick, you know, because in our world today, you know, our kids are programmed to, you know, get the job, get the house, get the car, you know, and we don't really talk about why or the purpose. So give me your thoughts on the importance of why.
Yeah, it's huge. So I think that's what I felt, you know, when I was in their position of like, okay, so this is the, you know, this is the method, graduate from high school. You go to college, you graduate from a good college, you get a job. Like, you just do this path. And I started to say, but why? Like, why are you doing that? Like, there was never a good reason behind it. And so really what why is again, why do you do what you do? Because, you know, depending on what path, because everyone's path looks different, when you get the criticism, when the job becomes hard, not when, when it happens, you need that bigger reason of why you're doing what you're doing. And, you know, I talk to even, you know, people that have been in the business, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50 years, and it comes to a point where the nitty gritty or the day to day kind of wears you down. And it just becomes kind of about like, you know, what you need to get done. And I asked them, why did you get into this? Because everyone always has a reason, an impact or a legacy or something they wanted to change about their industry. So it's really the big driver. It's when things get hard, when the day to day happens, it's that ultimate kind of inside purpose that says, I have to do this for this reason. And it's really why I encourage people to write it down and post it somewhere, as many places as possible, in your car, in your bathroom, in your office, in your locker. Write down, as soon as you can articulate it, why you do what you do. So every day you're reminding yourself, and not only you're reminding yourself, but your brain starts to pick up on opportunities to live that why out, you know, that reticular activator. You start to see places and opportunities to live out that why that you might not have picked up on beforehand. So not only is it the driver, but it's starting to see opportunities in the world for you to live that out in a bigger way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? I also just thought about this. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. You know, we had a lot of young people that, Never Again movement, this shooting that occurred. And there are some, I guess, many pundits, if you will, a lot of people, said that these kids were too young to be leaders, that they were, didn't have the experience or the authority to even, you know, push policy or change policy. Give me your thoughts on this.
So often, you know, we say in business, why, or actually in anything you do, like sports or business, when you feel stuck, you hire a mentor or a coach, right? Because they can see as an objective third party, something that we can't see, right? We're too stuck in the woods to see the trees. And I feel like that's sort of what this is now, is that these kids have a different perspective than somebody who's been in, you know, government or policy, or who's been in the world for quite a long time, that there is wisdom on both sides, right?
Yeah.
There's things that people who have been, you know, in the business and policy and government for a while, they can see that we can't. And there's things that these kids can see that they can't. And I think the power is pulling the two together and saying, oh, no, not that they're too young, but what can they bring to the table that maybe I haven't thought about? You know, what can they say, or what can they do, or what are they seeing that maybe I'm not seeing? And so it's not saying one is better than the other, but it's actually bringing the two together, bringing both wisdom from both sides, that I think is the most valuable, because it's what we do to get better in business or sports. So why aren't we doing it in the social change arena? And I think that's really
right.
What's going to make a difference, is seeing that innovation from a different perspective.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I like that. Interestingly enough, do you by chance have any other, instances or examples of young people finding their purpose early?
Yeah, I worked with a girl. Her name is Emily. I worked with her for 4 years while she was in high school. And I remember she was kind of searching and not really sure, what she was going to do, and, you know, wasn't sure she should go the expected route or path. And, you know, we worked together for a couple of years. And I remember her senior year, she had a paper to write about somebody that had made a difference. And I remember she came to me one night and she had handed me a paper, and it was her speech. And she had written about me, which was kind of like an odd thing, because I was like, oh, I didn't do it for, you know, the hope on the other side. And,
right.
You know, now seeing her, she's now helping women or young girls like I had helped her. And she's doing it on a regular basis. And she's going to school to be a teacher and to pour into young kids' lives. And it's just things like that that remind me that it's not going to happen right away, that it is a journey, but that you can find it at a young age. And again, like we talked about, it's going to evolve and it's going to look different. But the earlier on that you can start to pursue this, the more, you know, impact and purpose, and the more you feel driven to do the things that you love to do.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, what's interesting too, is that, and I just don't want to have everybody gloss over it, is that you work with her for 4 years, and you know, her why or her purpose didn't develop overnight. It was over a process of time.
Right. Right. And I think that's the thing that in this world that we live in now, right? So we're kind of in the instant gratification culture, right? So I can get my Pop-Tart as soon as I put it in, or I can get a text back as soon as I send it. So the thing is that we've now programmed ourselves. Now, there's great value sometimes in that, but we've now programmed ourselves to believe that everything should be instant, right? Like I instantly get an email response, or I instantly get the job I want, or instantly get into the college that I want. And the problem is that we've lost this idea of patience. We've lost this idea of the journey, right? And like what you learn and failures and all the things you go through in the journey is actually what makes you the best leader, the best entrepreneur, the best, you know, friend and daughter and brother and all this kind of stuff. That's actually what makes you better. And so to really gain back that perspective of you don't actually want it, even if you could get it overnight, you don't want it, because you have to become the person that you need to be in order to get, you know, what you're looking for on the other side. So when you have this list of goals or this place you want to go, you actually have to become the person that needs to get that, rather than just instantly having it. So really just reminding ourselves of that patience is a good thing, and that, you know, in that journey, we may actually go a different way than we thought we were supposed to go. And so just, you know, reminding ourselves that that's actually a great thing, and that, you know, we don't actually want it overnight, because it's not going to be what it really should be.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, unfortunately, you know, when you're young, time seems to go somewhat slowly, because I just remember as a young person, I had a big rush to, you know, to be 18 and then, you know, to be 20 and 25, whatever. And so you want to hurry up and get to those milestones. And then, of course, all of a sudden it flips on you and time goes by so fast. I mean, here we are.
Wish you had it back.
Yeah, you wish you had it back, but we're almost halfway through 2018.
Right.
It's just amazing. Anyway, it's just what we call it, being human. Okay, again, I just want to plug the book. Ladies and gentlemen, Leadership Built on Why, A Guide for Young Adults is the name of the book. It might be a great book for you to check out for your young person or even for yourself. I want to ask you this. When it comes to discovering your why, do you have a way for people to get started? I mean, can you lead us through maybe some ideas or thoughts on how you can get started on that journey?
Yeah, so it was the two questions that I referenced earlier, which are, you know, what are you passionate about? What lights you up? Now, again, you may not – so here's what I always tell people is don't judge your passion before you identify it. Again, you know, when we talk about these big things, oftentimes we think, oh, okay, so it has to look like this, right? It has to be this certain category or a certain thing. And if it's not, well, then it's kind of weird. And I'm like, I don't care if you are passionate about, like, gardening tomatoes. That's amazing. If you are if you're truly passionate about something, be passionate about it and own that fact. So start to write down, even if you don't know fully what it is. I always say, like, in the book, there's actually places to write it down. You know, what are you passionate about? Start to, even if it's a few things, write it down. And then, again, you know, what are you starting to say in conversation? So start to pay attention of, you know, when you're having conversation, when you're reading newspapers, you're hearing the news, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I really wish I could change that, or I know I could do that better. Start to pay attention to what that is or what subject that's around, and then walk down the journey of, is there any way to merge the two, or how can I start paying attention to that more, or how can I start getting involved with, you know, organizations or people that are trying to change that or are as passionate about that as me. And as you do that, seeing ways that can merge really starts to build the why and kind of give you a sense of where you're supposed to go. So again, start writing those down, paying attention to it. If you can articulate the why, like I said, write it down, put it on your phone, on your computer, in your bathroom, everywhere you look, to start training your brain to pay attention for ways to get involved and ways to really live out your why in other ways.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you this, because I know you probably thought about it a lot. How can your book help empower young women?
So I think one of the biggest ways really is when I was growing up, I didn't really feel like I had somebody else outside of my family who was candid about their journey, and I could look out and go, oh my gosh, I'm really not the only one. Because where we really get lost, especially as women, but really as anyone, is that we live kind of in our silent darkness, and we think, I really must be the only one who struggles with this, who's experienced this, who has ever gone through something like this. And we kind of walk through just thinking, like, with our head down of shame, of thinking, like, nobody else could possibly understand, or I could never use this in a powerful way. But when we start being candid about our stories, the more you've gone through and the things you've experienced, I feel like widens the door for the more people that you can impact. The more people you can say of, hey, I've actually walked that journey. I'm on the other side, and I can kind of walk you through what I did. And that's really what I want the book to be, of saying, hey, I've literally walked where you've walked. I've experienced similar things. I'm on the other side of this. Come look at what I've done. Miss some of the mistakes that I made, and start paying attention to the ways that you can really kind of walk this journey a little bit better than I did, a little bit faster, just to kind of be that, you know, that friend at the coffee shop saying, hey, you know, like, you got this. And these are some of the ways that you can do that. And that's one of the biggest ways.
Yeah, I think that's great. I love that idea. All right, so I have a couple of questions for you because, you know, you've done some things that people may look at and say that's awesome or scary or whatever. How do you deal with fear when you're starting a project? Again, maybe it's book, or when you started down your speaking career, or when you start again a new project or something. You know, we instantly get hit with some level of fear. So how do you deal with fear when it comes a calling?
Yeah, we always deal with that. So I think the biggest thing is to start asking yourself, what am I so afraid of? And most people would say, I'm afraid of the failure, or I'm afraid of somebody saying no. I'm afraid of looking dumb or stupid, or, you know, being found out, being a fraud. Even though you're not, you kind of feel like, you know, somebody's going to find you out. So start asking yourself, what am I really afraid of? Because normally you can boil it down to this couple of things and saying, okay, so then, you know, let's be kind of logical. If I fail, what's the worst that could happen? You know, if somebody says no, is that the worst that could happen? You know, start to be, because when it sits in our head, right, it feels like giant Mount Everest and we could never tackle it and it feels like this horrible thing. And as soon as you write it on a paper, you're like, oh, I can do that. Like, that's not so bad. So really just pay attention of why am I really so afraid? And if my fear were to come true, what's the worst that could happen? Because normally, actually, when you fail or when you get no, that's actually good for you. It teaches you something. Well, could you have pitched it better? Could you have done this a little bit better? And start paying attention to that, because I think it was Darren Hardy that said he loves the word no, because it drives him to keep pushing to be better and to go for the yes. And eventually you will get the yes. And sometimes you need to get the no, right? Sometimes that's actually not a good opportunity and that's actually better for you. So just asking yourself, you know, why am I so afraid and what's the worst that can happen? And then just doing it anyways, even if the fear is still there, just kind of going for it. Cause that's really where the great things happen.
Absolutely. I think it's a great way of great strategy on how to deal with that stuff, because I used to say this even before he became president, whether you're Donald Duck or Donald Trump, we all have some fear that we're dealing with, because if you are constantly expanding, right, we were all put on this planet to grow and expand, you're always going to be hitting that. Now, depending on where you're at in life, maybe you have less fear or more fear, but I love that. All right, final question. What's a personal self-talk or mantra, affirmation, or self-belief that contributes to your success?
Ooh, that's a good one. I have to pick just one. I think I will go. I will go back to the one person rule. I do what I do. I do everything I do for the one person that needs to hear it or see it or experience it. And I just remind myself that I'm just doing this for just the one person that needs to hear what I have to say.
Ah, I love that. That is awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we just spent some nice minutes here, nice time here with Andy Keffer. The book, again, is Leadership Built on Why, a Guide for Young Adults. Andy, if somebody wanted to reach you, what's the best website for them to get a hold of you at?
AnnieKeffer.com. So that's AnnieKeffer.com. And I'm Annie Keffer on all social media platforms as well.
Excellent. I will put AnnieKeffer.com on the show notes. And you guys can click on there or go visit AnnieKeffer.com. Annie, it's been a delight getting to know you. Looking forward to having you back again.
Thanks so much, Bert. It was great to talk with you.
All righty. Good stuff there from Annie Keffer. I love the fact that she is taking on this niche of helping young people, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was in high school, that was like one of my toughest experiences. It was so difficult for me. And, you know, maybe if I would have had a little guidance or leadership, you know, it would have straightened me out a little bit better, helped me out a little bit better. But anyway, again, the book, Leadership Built on Why, a Guide for Young Adults. As always, my friends, I thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you very much. And I would hope that you will, as you guys always do, share this episode with everybody. You know, let's help as many people who need to connect with their young adults at home, people who work with young adults, people who are young adults and want to be leaders. Let's help them connect with this episode. And always, my friends, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.